Well, we just believe, God, tonight that no matter why you come, even if you came because your wife was playing the auxiliary keys tonight, like Pastor Bill, we're glad you're here tonight. We're so glad you're here. We believe God has something for each and every one of us. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, this past Wednesday night, during Hour of Power, I was asked to preach, and I talked about get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. Tonight I want to talk about we've come this far by faith. We've come this far by faith. Now, some of you might remember that old song, and I'm not going to attempt to sing it, because if you don't have a Hammond B3 organ, it's kind of hard to hit the right notes on it. But we've come this far by faith. You know, and in that, it's kind of like with get your hopes. If you've come this far, if God's brought you this far, there's no reason to stop. There's no reason to quit. Amen. I want to look tonight at 5 points on remaining steadfast in our faith. 5 points in remaining steadfast in our faith. All right. First of all, we need to hold fast our confidence in God's promises. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 with me, if you would please. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. We'll read through the end of the chapter. We'll read first of all from the King James Bible, then from the Passion Translation. But here, notice what he says here in verse 35, Hebrews 10, 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Have you ever thought about this? To cast something away, you already have to have it. Amen. You know, the fact that you were confident enough that if you called upon the name of the Lord that he'd save you, that you called on the name of the Lord, you're a child of God right now, means you had confidence in God. And that same confidence is what he's talking about. Don't cast it away, because it has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back. Tell your neighbor, I'm not of them. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Let me read this from the Passion Translation. It says, so don't lose your bold, courageous faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Remember what God told Joshua when he was about ready to take over for Moses? Be strong and of good courage. Have courage. Amen. Have courage. You know, the world system is set up to drain you of every ounce of courage you have. Yeah. You watch what the world does and how the world operates, and those who, whether they realize or not, are being influenced by the God of this world. Every bit of it is designed to draw the courage out of you. Why? Because the devil knows if you ever act out and be strong in faith and have courage, you are unstoppable. Amen? He says, so don't lose your bold, courageous faith. Listen to this. For you are destined for a great reward. You need the strength of endurance to reveal the poetry of God's will. Then you receive the promise in full. For soon and very soon, the one who's appearing will come without delay. And he also says, my righteous ones will live from my faith. But if fear holds them back, my soul is not content with them. But we are certainly not those who are held back by fear and perish. We are among those who have faith and experience true life. The life of faith is a life of bold, unwavering confidence in God's word. You've heard it around here how many times? If God said it, if you believe it, that settles it, right? What does God's word say about it? Faith and bold, uncompromising faith. Trusting that his reward for faithfulness is going to outweigh any of the present difficulties you might be going through. We talked about that a little bit Wednesday night. If you weren't here, get a hold of that. Watch it on Rumble, the Rumble app, or whatever you want to. Just get hold of that, because, you know, life comes to everybody. Life happens to everybody. Amen. And if you're blessed enough to have birthday after birthday after birthday after birthday after birthday after birthday, and you keep having them because you're not satisfied yet, glory to God. Life, you're going to encounter life out there. You're going to encounter circumstances, but glory be to God. When we trust in His reward, in His faithfulness, it outweighs any present difficulty we might be having. He said, he talked there in that verse, in verse 36, he said, you have need of patience. Patience, why? Lined up with God's will. Patience doesn't mean I'm just putting up with something till it's over. Patience means I stay the same, I stay steadfast no matter what happens. It's endurance. When we endure, we reach that time of fulfillment. You have need of patience, he said, that after you've done the will of God, you will inherit the promise. Say steadfast. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It's not going to happen any other way than what God, the way God said it. Now, it may not happen the way I think it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. See, faith's not so much concerned on the how, it's concerned on the will of God. Now let God work out the how. Pastor Craig says it this way, you don't have to understand how God's going to do it, you just have to have faith that He's going to do it. Remember what he said as he looked up in Webster's dictionary what faith means? Unwavering belief. Unquestioned belief. So I'm not asking God how. There's a lot of things in my life that have been a blessing that I would have done a different way. But I'm thank God that God is the how. Now there are times he does lead you, right? And we need to know when God leads us, we need to know his way. But if not, we still stay on the word if we don't understand the way. What the word says is coming to pass. There in the last two verses of chapter 10, we get our second point. We're going to live by faith, not fear. We're going to live by faith, not fear. Fear, someone said, you know, took the word fear and made out this little acrostic, false evidence appearing real. False evidence. But you know, fear and faith act exactly the same. You believe it in your heart, speak it out of your mouth. That's how fear manifests in our life. Amen. Now, just because you have a thought of doubt or have a thought of fear doesn't mean that you've yielded to it. But you got to take those thoughts captive. There, the passion in verse 38 says, what's it say again? Look at that. And he also says, my righteous ones will live from faith. But if fear holds them back, my soul is not content with them. But notice what he said, the latter part there. We are among those who have faith and experience true life. See, we're called to trust God, even when the circumstances are uncertain. Fear leads to retreat. Faith leads us to move forward with God. I'm not going back. You know, it's amazing sometimes when you hear people testify about God and testify about their former life. You think, you know, the Israelites are alive and well today. They're out there in the wilderness. They said, we had it better back in Egypt. We'd rather go back there, you know, and live that life of bondage than we would be to live free out here and have to believe God and trust God. Amen. I tell you what, we got to develop the attitude that we'd rather go with God in the uncertainty than go back in the known of bondage. We may not know exactly how, we may not know exactly when. That's all right. That's the uncertainty we can live with, but we know God will do it. Amen? And we don't give in to fear. We don't give in to that. We don't speak out that negative. I remember Brother Hagin saying this. He said, any thought that you have that tells you you're not going to get it this time is of the devil. And is the devil's trying to get you into fear. Aren't you glad fear doesn't come from God? He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Now, when we're talking about fear, we're not talking about the fear of the Lord. We are to have that. That's reverence for God. We're talking about being afraid. We don't have to be afraid of tomorrow, right? Amen? I mean, how many of you were here this morning? Let me see your hands, and no condemnation if you weren't, okay, but you were here this morning. What do we sing at the end of communion? Every Sunday we have communion, what do we sing? Because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know this, we win in Christ. Because He's alive, we don't have to live in fear. Fear has to be rejected. We got to choose to believe God, to believe in God's ultimate victory, to believe in God's salvation, and move forward with God. Do you remember back there in when the children of Israel stood at the bank of the Red Sea? And then it's funny, you know, Moses went up there, and of course, I don't know if he looked, but I kind of look like, now some of you aren't old enough to even understand this reference, but I do kind of look, Moses looks like Charlton Heston standing there and not Barney Fife. Now, if you don't know who Barney Fife is, Google it, okay? I know the younger ones that don't know who Barney Fife is, you know how to use Google. Amen? And what was Barney, 127 pounds soaking wet? I mean, you know. But there stands Moses up there with that rod in his hand. And then Moses said to people, they were getting the phrase that stand still and see the salvation of God. But that wasn't what God said. God said, why are you standing here? Go forward. He told them to go forward before one drop of water had rolled back. Go forward. There when they went to bring the ark across the, you know, they went to go into the promised land there outside of Jericho and the Jordan River's there. The water was, it was in flood stage at that time. And when the priests stepped into the water of the flood, then the Jordan River rolled back. Go forward with God. Don't let fear hold you back. Don't let fear. You know, the Bible talks about in 1 Peter there, chapter 5, that our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Part of what a lion does is try to paralyze its prey. Now, a lion's fast. He's faster than us, right? But there's a lot of animals out there in the Masai Mara or wherever it is you are that the lion's not as fast at. But if the lion can, you know, sneak up on him and then get you know, scare him enough and separate him, the lion can catch him. Even an animal that the lion that can outrun the lion, if the lion can get it afraid, it can catch it. Amen. Have any of you seen those videos of those warthogs that just take off? You know, we got to be like the warthog, man. I mean, when the devil comes his way, you know. But when the devil roars, don't stand there and listen to him roar. Now, if you're smart, you take out your sword. Stick him real good with it. Tell him what the word says about the situation. All right, so hold fast to your confidence in God's promise. Live by faith, not fear. Our third point, stay immovable in your work for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. So many Christians, when the challenges of life come, they quit serving God. They quit working for God. They think it's a time to step back. No, it's not a time to step back. It's a time to dig in and produce more fruit, glory to God. Stay working for God. 1 Corinthians 15, and really the last few verses is what I want to read, but verse 51 is so good, I got to start there, all right? Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I always thought that'd be a great sign above the nursery at a church. You'll get it later. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, talking about this body we got right now, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Mortal means subject to death. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. Now, why is that there? Because here's the deal. Sin has been dealt with in Christ. So death no longer has dominion over you and I. You don't have to be afraid of death. This is 2024, right? About ready to go into 2025. Now, I know for a lot of us crazy maddicts, we didn't think we'd ever reach the year 2000. Now, here we are about to go to 2025. Dear Lord, we thought Jesus would be back for sure. Hey, man, I got saved in 1980. My only prayer was, God, let me get married and have kids before you come back. I'm happy now. I got grandkids. I think he took my prayer real literal. I don't know how farther we're going here. Amen. But you know, ever so often, something happens in the world that genders fear. Remember how afraid people were when we went going from 99 to 2000? Oh, the world was going to end. Did the world end? No. 9/11 happened. Everybody afraid. I mean, do you remember the lines for gas here in Tulsa? You remember people scattered out of the Williamstown, downtown, the Williams building in the City of Faith? They scattered out of there afraid that they were next. Fear. Let's just go back 4 years. Pandemic. Now, like I've said many times, I'm in no hurry, and the Christians, we should be in no hurry to die, but we do not have to fear death because sin has been dealt with. Amen. He said there that death, where is your sting? There's no sting in death for you, child of God. Oh, grave, where's your victory? There's no victory in the grave for the child of God. Amen. The sting of death is sin. He says, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. That's what we're talking about, staying immovable. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What happens when life comes? What happens when death comes? What happens when those things come and visit our life and touch our life? Keep moving for God. Stay steadfast for the Lord. The Passion Bible here in verse 58 says it this way. And so now, beloved ones, stand firm and secure. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord, because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures. See, when we're steadfast in faith, it means we stay rooted in our service to God. Amen. You know, unfortunately, some folks, now nobody that comes to church on a Sunday night in December, I can't be talking about you. Must be somebody watching. Probably not somebody watching church on a Sunday night. But you know, sometimes some little thing happens in somebody's life, and one of the first things they do is quit coming to church. Well, Brother Brian, I can't usher tonight. What happened? Well, you know, I had a flat tire. Oh, can we come help you? Oh, no, it's 5 days ago. Now, you look at me and laugh, and you think people, I'm telling you, people act that way. But he says, when those things happen, we are to stay grounded and steadfast in our service to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Don't stop praying. Don't stop giving. Don't stop serving. Keep on. Steadfast faith means being rooted in service to God. So therefore, whatever challenges arise in our life, continue working in his kingdom. Why? Everything we do has eternal value. Amen? Eternal value. Number four, guard your mind and stay vigilant. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 with me, if you would, please. Guard your mind and stay vigilant. Diligence, vigilance. These are some characteristics that come out of being a courageous believer. That means I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be steadfast. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Read this in the King James first. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Passion says, so then, prepare your hearts and minds for action. Ooh, I like that, action. I'm looking at a room full of action figures tonight. Amen. Superheroes for God, infused with the very life of God. What kind of life? That same life that raised Jesus from the dead, that resurrection life is in you. You know, we like to quote that, now unto him, Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all the weak or ask or think. But what's the last part of that? According to the power that now works in us. It's in you. It's in you. You superhero you. You action figure you. He goes on to say, he said, stay alert. And fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. Thank God for the grace of God that's brought us thus far. Thank God for the faith that's brought us thus far. But thank God for the grace and the faith that's to come. There's more grace. There's more grace. There's more grace. There's more grace. For when Jesus, he goes on to say, for when Jesus Christ is unveiled, a greater measure of grace will be released to you. Not just in eternity, but I mean now. The more revelation that you have of Jesus, the more grace you're going to walk in. Because the more he reveals himself to you, the more you're going to be able to do. And the more you're going to be really required to do, and it takes more grace. Thank God he gives grace to the humble. Amen. Thank God grace and peace is multiplied unto us through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at there in 1 Peter chapter 5. Look back in verse 8. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 and 9. I mentioned this earlier, but let's read it. We're talking about guarding our mind and staying vigilant. Here he uses this term again about being sober. Sober means in being steadfast, being solid. Not wandering around, not being blown here and there. You ever seen somebody that wasn't sober? They wobble around. Amen. Got to be like Pastor Craig's clown he brought up here that time. Remember that thing? Knock it down. You ever see those? How many of you had one when you were growing up? We had one. You punch that thing, it'd fall, boom, come right back up. Little kids, if you're not careful, they knock it over, comes back and knocks them over. We got to be like that. When it looks like the devil's knocked you down, just pop right back up. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Like I heard someone say, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And when he gets to you, just tell him, go on devouring down the road. Don't come. You can't come here. Whom resist, he said, steadfast in the faith. In the faith, believing, unquestioning in God's promise. Unquestioning that what God said is true. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He went on to say there in verse 10, we won't read it, but he said, you're going to be steadfast, immovable. He said, after you've suffered a while, what does that mean? After you've resisted a while, after you've gone to the gym of faith and lifted a few weights, you're going to be strong. Well, I don't want to ruffle the devil's, you know, I don't want the devil, you know, to make the devil mad. He's already mad. Amen. He's already mad. Have you ever seen a sign that says, mean dog, beware? He's already mean. You don't have to add to it. Amen. Remain steadfast. Remaining steadfast requires a disciplined and alert mind. We've got to constantly be renewing our mind with the Word of God. Constantly saying, what does God say about this? What does God's Word say about this? How many of you know this is the only book that has the answers to life? This is the book, the Bible. It is your answer. It is my answer. When distractions, spiritual attacks coming, we have to focus on God's grace. And in faith, resist the enemy. Tell him what the Word of God says about your situation. Just like Jesus there, when he was tempted of the devil, said, it is written. It is written. Three times, it is written. He said what the Word of God had to say about it. about that situation. And when the devil offered him the shortcut, he said, look, he said, all these kingdoms of the earth I'll give to you. He's giving him back the dominion that God had given man in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1 that he handed over to Satan through his sin and rebellion. Satan said, all this I will give to you, for it's been given unto me if you'll just bow down and worship me. Now we know from what Jesus said at the end, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth, that's what he came, and that was one of the reasons he came, was to get that authority back. But the devil offered him a shortcut to it, but Jesus said, no, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. That's why it's important that we make sure that in everything we're doing, we're serving God. I'm not doing it for the money that's involved in it. I'm not doing it for the prestige that's involved in it. I'm not doing it for a photo op. Now, thank God for all those things, but that's not our motivation. Amen? You know, when talking, we got a lot of students here tonight, but in talking to students, you know, the Bible says in Mark 16, the believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. At some point, all of us need to transition from being the one having hands laid on them to being the ones laying the hands on and see ourselves doing that. But I'm going to tell you right now, God's not going to heal anybody because it's going to make your name known or make your ministry known. He's going to heal those people because God loves them and that Jesus bore stripes upon his back that they might be healed. That's why God moves on their behalf. That's why God works through you and I. Amen? Be sober. Be vigilant. Our last point tonight is this, that we need to grow in the knowledge and the grace of God. Look over in 2 Peter. Let's go to chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would please. We'll read this from both of the translations we've used tonight, the King James and the Passion. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Pastor Hagin talked about peace this morning. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, his letters, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in knowledge, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Evidently here, the cure from falling from steadfastness is to continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Passion translation says here, so my beloved friends, I'm starting verse 14 again. So my beloved friends, with all that you have to look forward to, may you be eager to be found living pure lives when you come into his presence, without blemish and filled with peace. And keep in mind that our Lord's extraordinary patience simply means more opportunity for salvation, just as our dear brother Paul wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He consistently speaks of these things in all his letters, even though he writes some concepts that are overwhelming to our understanding, which the unlearned and unstable love to twist to their spiritual ruin, as they do the other scriptures, due to other scriptures. As for you, divinely loved ones, since you are forewarned of these things, be careful that you're not led astray by the error of the lawless and lose your firm grip on the truth, but continue to grow and increase in God's grace and intimacy with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May he receive all the glory, both now until the day eternity begins. Amen. See, being steadfast in faith is a continual growth in our Christian life. And as we grow, it helps us to continue, helps us to not be swayed by the air of lawlessness, by the air of winds of doctrine. But in it, it's going to deepen our relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's going to dig our roots deep into the truth of God's Word, into the truth of who He is. When we know who he is, we find out who we are. When Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said, "And you are Peter. And upon this rock I'll build my church." First he said, "You up to this point, you have been Simon, son of Jonah, but now you are Peter." When you find out who he is, it's going to change your revelation of who he's made you to be. Amen? And that steadfastness, that continual decision and courage. Listen, it takes courage to grow. But we don't have to doubt. We don't have to shrink back from anything. God has a proven track record. We've come this far by faith. Amen? We've trusted in him thus far. Why would we stop trusting him now? Just continue to put your trust in him. Remain in him. Stay anchored in God. Reject fear. So we trust God's promises. We reject fear. We stay anchored in his work. We guard our minds and we grow in Christ. And in all these ways, we're going to remain firm in our faith until the day of his return. And I know he's coming back. I know he's coming back. But like we read there, what Peter said, that his long suffering is salvation. Every day that he tarries means thousands and thousands of others come into the kingdom of God. I've mentioned this before and thought this. I have never talked to someone who is a missionary who's in a hurry for Jesus to come back, because they know those that need to hear. Amen? Let's have faith. Let's be courageous. Let's be bold. Because we've got God standing behind his word. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Father God, that you have brought us this far by faith. Trusted in your word, Father. And you have never in the past, you aren't right now, and you never, ever, 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 never, ever, ever will fail us. And we thank you for it, Father. We can't go back. We've come too far to turn back now. We've come this far by faith, and we've come too far to turn back now. So we thank you, Father, for what lies ahead. What lies ahead in your plan and your purpose for each and every one of our lives. What lies ahead for us as we trust in you. And Father, may in all things Jesus be glorified. Holy Spirit, lift up Jesus. Glorify him. We thank you and praise you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't want to leave here tonight without knowing him. If you don't know, you say, "Well, I don't know for sure." Well, you need to have a know-so experience. You need to know for the fact that you're a child of God, that you're born again, like the Bible talks about. You're here tonight, maybe you haven't been living for the Lord the way you know you should, and you want to just rededicate your life. You can come down at the end of the service here, and we'll give you an opportunity to do that. You might be here tonight, and you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. Not a Pentecostal church experience, but a Bible experience. For they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. Now, if you're born again, you got the Spirit of God in you, but there's a second and distinct work of the Spirit of God, and that's what we call the filling of being filled with the Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's still for us today. You've come too late to tell millions and millions of people around the world that it's passed away. Amen. Hallelujah. You can do that at the end of this service. Amen. Hallelujah. Before we leave tonight, I'll ask everybody just please keep your seat here. We're going to receive that special offering for the Pastor and Mrs. Hagen for their Christmas offering. You're so generous. You're such a blessing. As Pastor Bill mentioned, he said, we act on your behalf in this, that we go and we come to you and we act on your behalf, and we really do what they don't want us to do, but they are so blessed every year by you. And as they said, you know, our pastors are unique. Not every pastor is the head of a worldwide ministry. Not everybody's a pastor to ministers all over the world. We have those pastors. And so what a blessing, what an honor it is to be part of this church. And to, we don't ever want to take for granted these times. Don't ever take for granted the word that comes forth from this pulpit. What a blessing it is. And as they've said, they'd rather preach here than any place in the world. They love you. They don't ever stop thinking about Rhema Bible Church. So tonight we're going to receive that offering. You want a text to give? It's 28950. Put Hagen in the space there. Type in Hagen, put a space, put the amount you want to give. If you want to write a check, make it to Rhema Bible Church. Put in an envelope, fill out your information, put Hagen in the other there, Hagen Christmas or whatever. If you want to give cash and you want a record of that, make sure you fill that out and put Hagen in there. And we'll make sure that every part of this offering goes to them. All right? Hold up your offering there. Let's believe God together. Father, we thank you tonight for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. Thank you, Father God. Jesus, when you ascended on high, you gave gifts unto men, pastors and teachers, apostles and prophets and evangelists. Thank you for the pastors of Rhema Bible Church. They are truly a gift to us. As they equip us, Father, that we might do the work of the ministry, we thank you for it. Father, bless this offering. Bless them. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Ushers, if you go ahead and receive that offering, please remain seated so we can let the ushers do their job. Give our ushers a big hand clap tonight. Thank the Lord. Amen. Now, if you're sitting there tonight and you'd like to wear one of those fancy shirts that they wear, they could use you. I'm sure they could use some more help. So get signed up. Go out in the North Lobby. You can sign up for everything in life in the North Lobby almost. Everything here at Rhema, at least, just about. Except for the children's student ministries. That's in the over there in the East Lobby. Hallelujah. Amen. Give them just a little bit more time. God bless you so much. Thank you for taking part. We've got about, what, Brother Bill? Three more weeks to give in this offering. So continue on. Hey, you can text to give from wherever you are. You can drop an offering out over here in the right outside the church office. Just put it in there if you want to. Mark it. Make sure you fill out the envelope. Mark it for that. Amen. Let's all stand up. Our ushers are getting ready to finish up there. Let's all stand up tonight. Glory to God. Remember, if you need prayer, you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to rededicate your life, you want to know so experience, you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or you need prayer for any other thing, men, come on down to our men. Ladies, come on down to our ladies here in just a moment. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you back on Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Don't forget, tomorrow is International Schools Prayer at 11:30 over in SDC 2, room 201. We'd love to see you come out and help us pray for our international campuses. God bless you. Have a great night.